Again, I know some of you are here because Jason and Vanessa are here this morning. We're just so delighted to have with us this morning Jason and Vanessa Pfeiffer. Wherever they are, come on up, guys, come on up. I know some of you know them very well. Now, if you've started to come to Living Hope within the past 6 to 12 months, you may not have met them yet. You've probably heard their name mentioned a few times. But Jason and Vanessa are from Living Hope, serving in St. Croix on the YWAM base there. They're one of the missionaries that we support. So would you guys like to be down here or up there?
I'll be here.
Here. Would that stand be helpful? Okay. Pull this down. So all right, so I've invited Jason and Vanessa to share several things this morning in this, what would normally be the sermon time.
Awesome.
They're gonna share, as you know, missionaries do when they come back home, they're gonna give us an update on just some of the things God has been doing there in St. Croix, just some things mission related. But then I also invited them to share a little bit just personally, just some things God is doing in their lives. I think they each are gonna share a testimony. I don't know what that's all gonna look like. And we will may also have a few moments at the end, even if you have a question that you want to ask, we'll make opportunity for that. So I'm just going to pray for you guys and get out of the way. How does that sound? get over here. You're too far away. Get over here closer. All right. Father, I thank you for this couple, for the way that they're serving you, for the way that you are just continuing to grow and mature them in this role and use them in numerous ways. So God, just speak through them this morning. May their update be one of encouragement, one of praise to you, thanksgiving for what you're doing, but also, God, encouragement to us as each of us as well serve you in the places that you placed us and in the opportunities you've given us. So bless them this morning as they share, Father. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Great. That's yours.
Do we have, this seems really loud. Do we have a clicker for the...
Oh, yeah.
for the PowerPoint. Good morning, everyone. Hope you don't mind if we sit, sort of. The less informal I feel, the less nervous I get. So. Is this too loud? Okay. All right. Great. Yeah, so we're excited to be home for a little bit. For those of you that may not know, Youth with a Mission is a interdenominational organization. They're in countries all around the world, over 200 countries, I believe, around the world. And so we're just a part of the very small location on the island of St. Croix, and we have currently have a five-year commitment with St. Croix, Youth with a Mission, and we're just finishing up our third year already. Mm-hmm. It's hard to believe that we've been gone for 3 years. So, so we're just going to get into, like Pastor Ron said, a little bit. We want to highlight a little bit of what's happening in the ministry. Living Hope has sent teams for the last 2 years, or maybe even three. But over the summer, there has been teams that have come to help with our King's Kids Camp, which is a summer program for the youth on the island. And you also have a work team that came last year to help put a building up, and there's a group coming here in February to continue that work project. So Living Hope is a very vital part of what is happening in St. Croix. So part of our heart is to show you what's happening there. Thank you for everything you guys have contributed and supported to us. And hopefully be an encouragement to you all too. So the first thing you're going to see is a short video. It's about 3 minutes. And it's on the camp that we ran last summer. This was the one that I said that a lot of the youth and some other folks came and were camp counselors. So you're going to see that. And I can talk a little bit about it afterwards. But go ahead with the video. Yeah, the kids at the end there with the names, they were some of the local children that got to come on scholarships this year. We had some people support and help with their entrance fee into the camp. So that was why they had some names. But the King's Kids Camp is really a big part of what we do there in St. Croix, really just a great way to connect with the the kids of the island and get them involved. And then we have a year-long program that's an extension of this week-long program. They stay at YWAM, and they have lots of Bible teaching and lots of fun. You saw the mud pit, and, you know, they always look forward to that. But then we have a year-long program that's an extension of that, and they get to come once a weekend, and we'll get into that a little bit more. Is there anything you want to say about the King's Kids?
No, I'm laughing because some of the youth that came understand some of the dynamics that happen. So.
Or they recognize some of the kids.
They recognize some of the kids.
Yeah. So the building project, the group came last February. We are looking at, we have an old shop there, and on the top of it, it's a flat roof, so we want to put we're looking to put a classroom and a dance studio. We have started a dance ministry for the young girls in St. Croix, and about every Friday we bring a van load of girls, and I think there's close to 20 girls that are doing dance every Friday afternoon, and we have some people on staff that are really gifted in dance, and so they're able to teach them. So the vision there is to have a dance studio and a classroom, and maybe a small gym as an extension of our sports ministry also, to see some of the guys that come for our basketball program to have a place, a safe environment where they can do some lifting and working out. So, and I think then we have a storage room there. But the group that came in February, last February, got so much work done. Everyone on staff was really amazed at how much was accomplished.
And the Crucians, too.
Yeah, and everyone that saw it was just amazed at how much you all got done in such a short amount of time. And so they have high expectations for those coming in February again for the roof. Last week, we got a shipment of materials. I think it was close to 27,000 pounds of materials that we unloaded and have ready to put the roof on. So. Mike, you probably need some more help with the people that are coming. So if you are skilled in roofing, talk to Mike. He would be glad if we had some more people to help. So that was our crew in last year, and yeah, it was just really a blessing to see that project be started. Your turn.
Oh, my turn. Okay, so on King's Kids, what Jason was talking about, the extension of the summer camp, it's every month. Once a weekend, a month, they come. We, by prayer and selection, they do 30 children that come once a month to us. And what that is actually is a one-on-one discipleship. So they come, they have a class, they have dynamics, but then we separate them in what they would like to do. So, for example, if kids
like workshops,
for example. You know, the kitchen, crafts, maintenance, just different areas of daily living, and some fun. So in that, I actually, about a year ago, we started with having between 2 to 3 children in the kitchen and really teach them. It's not only the skill of cooking, but that becomes more of a one-on-one. That's when they open up. That's when they talk. That's when you have the opportunity to minister to them individually. Everything in a group is great, but when you go into one-on-one situations, I think you went into the depth of, you know, their issues, their, you know, what makes them happy, what doesn't make them happy, what, you know, what is their struggles at home. So I've been blessed to have the last year, and actually the new year just started So this time, actually, I have boys in the kitchen this time around, and that was a shocker, but they're great. When I challenge them when they come in, it's one of those things where, why are you here, why you chose the kitchen, and what do you want to get out of it? You'll be amazed, the responses. And it has become a very good area for us to individually minister to those kids.
When they have sign-ups for the King's Kids Weekend, the kitchen, everyone wants to work with Miss Vanessa. So that's like the biggest thing that everyone signs up for. And they have to say, no, we can only put, you know, 2 people in the kitchen at a time. So they have to split them up and move them around. But, yeah, that's always
with
the biggest
sign up. With
no
joke, I have a waiting list of kids to get in
the
kitchen.
So everyone wants to work with Vanessa. You want to take Lighthouse?
I'll take this one. Lighthouse Ministries is actually a ministry from the church that we have plugged in down in St. Croix. So it's not a direct ministry to YWAM or Youth of the Mission, but this has become a more of a family for us ministry, where I know Jason goes on Fridays, I go on Tuesdays, but I've been able to, what they do, they serve a hot meal 5 days a week. And trust me, hot meal for breakfast means rice and beans and fish. This is not pancakes and, like, you know, it's a hot meal, because a lot of those people, that will be the meal they have for the day. So we try to make it as hearty as possible, believe it or not. But the cool thing about it is that they do that. They have, when they're eating, they actually have a devotion time. Then on Tuesdays, they have the clothing closet, that they are able to come in and get toiletries. They can shower there. They can get fresh clothes, shoes. So what happens is, like, on Tuesdays and Fridays, the gentlemen go in. On Tuesdays, the ladies go in. We separated it at that point. It has been amazing what the one-on-one, again, situation happens on us being handing clothing out. A lot of those people, all they want is to talk. They don't want to be preached on. They just want somebody to say, you're going to be okay, hold your hand. You know, sometimes they come, I have a cut, you have a Band-Aid. I mean, literally like a child. Can you fix this? And I think that teaches, at least for me personally and my children, because I take my girls with me. My girls have learned to be able to see things and get past those things and still minister to those people. And I believe that children have an upper hand that we don't have. Children don't judge. So you have those kids going in, and it's amazing to see their smile on their face. Oh, you brought my girls. So now my girls became their children. So, and how they care for them, and how my children care for them. But this ministry, it's very close to my heart, I know, and I share with another lady in our in the base, that this ministry sometimes to us, it's not us sometimes ministry to them, but what is coming from the other side, that, man, if people put, if you put your what is it, your shoes in their place, your perspective of life changes. Even as a missionary, it just changes everything. So this is something that my girls and I are part of, and we are very proud that we're part of this ministry and what that ministry have, just ministry even to them. So it's been good.
Yeah, it's really, really been fun serving there. When my parents were in Youth with a Mission back in the 1980s, they had a ministry to the homeless there and to some of the people in that exact same street. And so I remember as a kid, you know, talking to some of the people that would come in off the street. And it's strange to see my own daughters there now, you know, ministering at the same street, the same place, and to some of the, not the same people probably, but the same group of people. So NECO is a outdoor survival camp that we started this year. This was our first year of running it. It's run all over at different Youth with a Mission locations around the world, but it has never been run in St. Croix, and God gave me a vision to start it in St. Croix. And he opened all the doors. It felt very overwhelming at first, but God opened all the doors for the things to fall in place. And it was really, we had 16 campers, and they get Bible teaching, they work on teamwork, and it's designed to push them to the limits where they can't do it on their own, where they have to rely on God and each other. And so that's kind of the premise behind it. We take them out in the bush for 5 days, and they learn to survive and work together. So I love making it as challenging and difficult as possible for them. You know, I'm all or nothing, so it's fun to really push them to their limits. But a lot of the youth accomplish things that they never thought they could, you know, through it. It's very difficult for them, but once they get through it, they look back and they say, wow, I can't believe I made it through there.
And even the maturity and growth that they come out 5 days after.
Mm-hmm.
So you see the difference when they go in to what they come out, and it's day and night for some of them.
Yeah, so the heart is, we ran it with our discipleship training school last year and a few other of our staff that had never done it. And the heart is now to run two or three of them this year, where I would love to see youth leaders from the local church come and be a part of it, and then they could invite their youth. They get the vision for it. They see the benefit, and then they bring the youth from the island and get the youth going through it on the island, because it's really something that, I mean, for a lot of us around here, the outdoors, you know, mountains, camping isn't a big stretch, but for some of these on the island, they don't know what camping is and outdoor survival, so it is really challenging for them. Yeah, I forgot to do the pictures, but this was just out on the trail. We do a lot of hiking and a lot of Bible teaching, so it was also a good opportunity for our staff to teach and to pass on to the youth. This is an apartment that we are currently renovating. God has given Vanessa and I a vision for another type of ministry that hasn't been in YWAM St. Croix so far, and it's called Vacation with a Purpose. And the idea is to bring people to the island. I mean, who wouldn't want to come to St. Croix for a vacation? But also to have a missions experience and, you know, experience some of the things that we're doing at YWAM and be involved, you know, maybe serve a day or so and just be a part of what we're doing, but also have some days to vacation. And so we have a few guest rooms on the property, but we're looking at making almost like a hotel room. It'll have two bedrooms and bathrooms and its own little kitchen. And so make it really nice for people that want to come and, like I said, vacation, but also get the mission experience. Hopefully just a gentle exposure for people that have never seen what Youth with a Mission is about or what a missions organization does. So we are currently in the process of renovating an apartment, and hopefully that will be ready to go the beginning of the year. I already have a few people that want to come, so kind of on a deadline now. You want to share about our school?
One of the main focus of Youth with a Mission is actually the Discipleship Training School. A lot of people, that's what it's called, DTS. This year, God have closed the door for us not to have it in January, but he opened the door for us to have it in the fall. So this year will be a September to March school. But this year, next year, 2016. By doing that, we are doing two tracks, meaning what is our passions for where our base is almost founded on, or what of our staff is passionate about. So we, after a lot of prayer, they came up with doing a sports worship DTS, because worship is actually very much part of what we do at YWAM St. Croix. And so by doing that, we will be doing ministry on those areas of the school. So it will be with sports, and then it will be for worship. All the classes, and not everyone will do the same classes, it's just ministry-wise, it will be divided into where your passion is. So is it worship, then you go that route, and then if it's sports, then just a ministry through sports then.
Yeah, DTS is a real good, it's a discipleship training school, for those of you may not know. And it's a really good opportunity for people to come through, take 5 months out of their life, usually younger generations, you know, out of high school or in college, and just take 5 months and really focus on the Lord and see what he has in store for them. If, you know, at that time of our lives, we're not always sure what God has for us or not always sure what the plans are, what he wants us to be a part of. So it's really just a neat experience for them to experience missions, but also to focus on God and what he has for their life. Anything else? Okay. So that kind of wraps up, you know, some of the ministries that we're involved with and things that we wanted to highlight for this last year. Please, if afterwards or at any point, ask us questions if we didn't cover something. We'd love to talk more about those in detail and share more stories from them. But I wanted to share a little bit about what God's done in my life over the last year. Pastor Ron asked me to share a testimony, and he asked me where I've seen the most growth in my life. And sometimes it's hard to stop and think about that and say, wow, where have I grown? You know, what has God done in my life? But I found it was really challenging, but also really healthy to look back. And so what I can see over the last year is that I've really had to rely on God's strength in everything that we're involved with. I think I've always taken that for granted. You know, we say, well, I can't do this without God, or, you know, I have to rely on him. And a lot of times, yeah, I don't know how to say it, but a lot of times it's just, I just realize that, but I'm never in a specific situation where I have to rely on him. I know I'm thankful that he provides the food on the table, he provides the resources, you know, or gives me a life every day, and I'm just saying, yeah, I got to rely on God to get through life. But this year he started really focusing on some different things and saying, but are you relying on me in specific situations? And those other things are important, but they're more of a general thing. So God was really showing me that I have to rely specifically on him. And through that, I grow a lot. So if I'm always comfortable, I realized if I'm always comfortable, if I am never put in a position that I can't do it on my own, and I can always cover what I'm doing by myself, then I don't need God, and I'm limiting the amount that I can grow. So when I allow God to put me in these situations that I need to rely on him, then I see his power, and I see his experience, and that's when I can experience the most growth in my life. Some examples. I took a Bible school this last year. God challenged me to go deeper in the Word and really study the Bible. And it was a very rewarding experience. It was a 9-month online program through YWAM. And it was covering inductive Bible study, but really we were taking books of the Bible and just really breaking them down and looking at each paragraph and just very detailed. And it was, I haven't wrote papers, I haven't done anything since 20 years ago when I was in high school. So for me to kind of go back to school, this was a graded, you know, I had to turn in papers, I had deadlines and grades, and it was a real challenge for me. And a lot of times I felt myself maybe reading the scripture that I had to do and then having to write a paper on it and just sitting there saying, God, I have no idea how to answer these questions. I have no idea where to go. And so it really forced me, again, to specifically rely on him and say, all right, Lord, I got the pen in my hand. You know, you start giving me the words. You start showing me how to, you know, what you want me to get out of this. And like I said, it was probably the most challenging thing I've done in a long time. But I saw God step up, and I grew so much in it because I couldn't do it on my own, and I had to rely on him. So yeah, that took up about 9 months, and I'm so thankful I did it, but I'm glad it was over. And it's, yeah, Vanessa was too. There was not much free time. It took almost 20 hours a week above and beyond our normal ministries and things that I was doing. And so felt like every free time I was worried about a paper that had to be due. But I grew a lot through that and was very grateful for it. One of the other things that God really stepped up for me in my life this year, and I saw a lot of growth, is in the basketball ministry. And, you know, I love sports. I love basketball. So when I went to St. Croix, everyone was like, oh, you should do the basketball, and you should head up the sports. And I have a passion for that. But that doesn't mean I have a passion for trying to talk to a group of guys that are 20 years younger than me. They're from a totally different culture than what I grew up in. They are bringing drugs to the basketball court to sell as fundraisers. They are wearing bulletproof vests when they go out in the evenings because they're afraid of getting shot. They sneak behind our sugar mill to have a fight ring when we're not watching, you know. So there's a lot of challenges there. We've been ministering to a young man. He's probably, what, 24, 25?
24.
And he's one of the harder cases that comes to the basketball court. And he got shot probably about 2 months ago. He came to basketball and had a big bandage on and asked him what happened. And thankfully, he had his bulletproof vest on. But somebody was after him and shot him with a shotgun slug. And it still penetrated his skin and everything. But I find myself, well, and then the other instance was a guy brought a whole cooler full of drugs basically to sell there, and he said it was
they
a fun.
They were brownies, okay? They were brownies.
They were edibles.
They were brownies.
But he came and And I confronted him on it, and he's like, I am so sorry. I didn't know that this was wrong. You know, I don't want to offend you at all, you know. And so a lot of evenings I'm sitting there thinking, man, how do I relate to these guys? You know, I am just totally opposite and don't understand their culture. And so situations like that, again, that God has put in front of us, that Vanessa and I sit there and say, and Vanessa's been a big part of the basketball ministry too. She's really built some relationships with the guys, and they look up to her as a mother. But we sit there and say, how do we even begin to minister to these guys? How do I begin, when I'm so opposite of them, to reach out and to make a difference in their life? And we've just seen time and time again, and I still don't know how it's happening, except that God is just stepping up, and we're just there and saying, instead of running from the situation, you know, it would be easy for me to say, look at all these things that I can't do, and just step back from it, and I don't want to be uncomfortable, because trust me, it's not comfortable when the guy's selling drugs and you got to go confront him and tell him he can't do it on your property. You know, you don't know how they're going to react. And so it would be easy to just to run away from that, but when I allow God, when I say, all right, God, you've called me to do this, this is the way you want me to move forward, I'm going to be obedient to it. When I allow that to happen, man, he shows up, and it's beyond me how he does it, and it's just amazing to look back and see the point that we've gotten to with a lot of these young men, where they're giving us just an open door to speak into their life on, you know, whether they lose a friend. Last week, a bunch of them had a friend that was shot at a nightclub and died. And so through situations like that, we're just willing to minister to them. And even if it's just a prayer, say, hey, can we pray for you tonight? And, you know, they don't turn it down. And we've had guys come up to us and say, hey, if you ever need anything, we got your back. You know, if anybody ever gives you problems, you let us know. I'm like, okay, well, you know, we don't want you to do anything, you know, but no, we will cover you. Don't worry. So it's, again, it's really cool to see how God has used that ministry just to build relationships and speak into their life. And it's nothing I can do, but God is really growing us in showing us how he steps up to that. And then the third example is leadership. Our directors, Fowler and Anna, a lot of you might remember Fowler spoke here over the summer. They took some time off. They took a furlough time this year and went to Brazil for 8 weeks. And in the spring, they went to Kansas City.
They're from Brazil. They didn't take a vacation.
Right. They did their furlough, and they don't get to go every year, so they go for 2 months every year or every other year. And they went and did some training in Kansas City this year, too. They were gone for 8 weeks. So there was 4 months out of the year that they weren't there, and they asked Vanessa and I to be the leaders as they were gone. And again, I've never been in that position before, and, you know, it just feels overwhelming when you have 20-some people that you're supposed to lead and take care of and make all the decisions for, and you feel so incapable sometimes. But again, I say, God, well, you've really just asked me to do this, so I'm going to step into it, and I'm going to let you take over. And just the, you know, it's not always perfect, but the way that we see God step up and cover for us is just incredible. And so the challenge I wanted to present today was, you know, if you, in your life, if you feel like you're at a place where you're not growing, or you say, man, I don't see growth in my life and my relationship with the Lord, you know, be willing to say, God, what situations do you want to put me in that stretch me? Where can I step out of my comfort zone and let God show up? You know, in 2 Corinthians, it says, when we are weak, he is strong. You know, his power is made perfect in our weakness. And so it's, you know, ask God, where in my life do I need to be challenged? Where do I need to step out of my comfort zone and let God take over when it's beyond me? And I've seen in the last year of my life, he's going to grow us drastically. You know, more, we're going to look back and say, man, I can't believe the growth that I've had in the last year in all different areas. So that's my my testimony from the last year.
That's good. I don't have to do mine now. I know, when Jason told me what Pastor was asking, like Jason, you actually have to stop to think. Because you're doing ministry, you're living life, and we do forget. We do forget to stop and think what God has done through this year, what God have done every month, every day, every week, because we don't take the time to do that. We're so focused, and we're doing ministry. You know, this is what we're doing, and, you know, we just have to go. And he brought it up. I really have to spend a couple of days just saying, okay, God, then what have happened this year? But one of the biggest challenges for me personally going into missions and doing what we're doing, it has been living in community. Coming from a different background, Caribbean background, it makes it very challenging to be with a bunch of other people that doesn't neither understand or we don't understand each other's, how we are wired. And I know this year, I'm very much, some of you know, have been down there. I'm a little drill sergeant, and this is the way you do it, and we are not changing, and this is how we go, and there is no way to turn. You're going forward, you don't turn, you don't look to any side, this is how it goes. To learn that not everybody is wired that way, that's really difficult. Because one of the things that I have very much in myself is about excellency. What I'm doing, I'm not gonna do a crappy job for anybody. If I don't do it for you, well, imagine, I'm not gonna do a terrible job for God, because he's the one that's giving me the job in the first place. But understand, learning to have grace and understand other people, that has been a tremendous challenge for me. Because, again, I'm not wired that way. He's wired that way. I'm not wired that way. And I started to ask God, okay, God, how can I do this? How can I do this? How can I break what I call it, a simple cycle of this is how I was wired from day one, to be able to ministry to people without being a drill sergeant? Because for some things, it works. For the basketball guys, I can be a drill sergeant and I can get on your face and we're gonna get on an argument, but that works for them. For the other people that I work with, that doesn't work that way. So how do you balance that? Relying on God every day, on saying, okay, God, I'm going up to work today and I might face this. How do I'm gonna go through the day without being uncomfortable, being frustrated, being agitated, and not seeing anything done? So you start that process. That process is not easy. When you have to start breaking your habits of life, culture, and what people think you are, because believe it or not, that actually comes back to you. People view you a certain way, that's the way they treat you, and then that's the way you live life, because that's what everybody else says. So how do you break that? Literally, it's day by day. Just, okay, God, teach me to have grace this day. I'm gonna be with 30 kids that are not necessarily like kids. I love my children, though, don't get me wrong. I love my children dearly, but children's ministry is not my big my big thing. But how do I do, okay, I wanna be able to ministry to them with love, grace, discipline, but do it God's way, not my way. That has been a challenge this year, because I feel like God, it's really turning me into, okay, Vanessa, yes, I love that you are very disciplined. I love that you do everything excellency, but you need to have grace. When God challenged you to do that, I'm gonna tell you one thing. That's the most difficult thing that you have, because if no ounce of grace on you, and God is saying, you need grace, because without grace, there are gonna be people you cannot reach. Okay, but my husband knows how many times I have gone to the house, and I'm going into, and go into this whole thing where I literally go crazy talking, because I'm like, this is agitated, this is da-da-da-da-da, and he's like, yes, honey, but what did you, he's very good. But yes, honey, what is God saying? I don't know. Right now, I cannot think about whatever God is saying right now, because I am so upset. But that's reality. we all live through that. We are all humans. We all, I mean, just because we have Christ in us doesn't mean that our human nature doesn't come out every single day. And how do we deal with this human nature thing? How? We have to be humble, go before God, and say, God, take care of this. Because if he doesn't take care of it, marriage is not going to function. Ministry is not going to function. Daily living is not going to function. Oh, sorry. Oh, okay. Sorry. I thought I was loud enough. That's why I was trying to keep it that way. And I think for me, doing that this year has been one of the challenges, but at the same time, my strength of starting to see now a glimpse of what God is asking from me. Yes, what I do is what God has asked me. What I, how I function, yes, all that. Entering into a place of grace in my life, that's definitely a challenge. But what God is asking from me, okay, Vanessa, you are now in a position where I can start changing that area of your life because I want you to be more effective in this area. So God takes our strength, and now God decides to work on the weakness side. Because in the weakness, what happens? God brings the strength. And I know for this coming year, one of the things that God keeps over and over challenging me is, I want you to be more...
merciful.
No. Well, yes. But...
I don't know.
Intentional. That's the word I wanted to use.
Right. That's it.
Yeah. God really have challenged me to be intentional on caring for people. I care for people. I will serve you. I will feed you. I will clothe you. I will, all those things I will do for you. But the challenge for me this year has been, can this new year you start working on being intentional with people's hearts? Do you know, that is very difficult. For a person that grew up, it's all about strength, and you're strong, and nothing shakes you and nothing moves you. For God to challenge you, I want you to care for people's hearts. You have done enough of caring for the physical. That's a challenge. How do I move from that? Just relying on God's strength to do it. Because I personally cannot do it. I will be completely honest. It will be going over my head. It's like, whatever. But I have to rely on God. Like Jason said, not in just the, yeah, God is going to supply, God is going to do da-da-da-da. No. It's a daily choice, a daily option of getting up every morning and say, okay, God, I need to be intentional. Make me softer, that I can reach those areas and those people's lives that need to be touched. I mean, we had a glimpse a little bit right before we came for the last month. Akel is the guy that Jason was talking about. I must be honest, God did it. He started to come around our house to actually, the norm in St. Croix is that you don't go knocking the door. You stand on the, you stand on the road, I yell, Jason, Vanessa! And then we're like, who's yelling? So you come out, of course, and it's like, just get in here. Don't yell, you know, just don't be yelling. But even with that, of us being intentional with him, he comes around. He have had dinner. This is a big thing for us, where he sat in our table and had dinner with us. That is unheard of, unseen, for a Christian person to let us in, for him to sit at our table, for him to actually see our children and love them. You know, Jason will not be around. He knows that he's not around. Hey, mommy is a sign of respect down there. So it doesn't matter how old you are, but if they call you like that, you have crossed the boundaries of trust at all means that they love you dearly. Do you need anything? I know Jason is gone. What do you need? What do you want? You just say it, it happens. You know, but even with him, for me to be intentional with him, what's going on, what's happening, why you got in trouble. You know, the fact of the matter that he looks at me in the eyes and said, I cannot lie to you. You're crossing that line of, we are trying to care for his heart. We're not trying to care no longer for the outer area. We are trying to go an extra mile. And I believe that, like Jason said, it's a year of a lot of changes, I think, for a lot of us, you know, for not only for Jason and I, but for the base in general. And it's exciting, but it's scary as it can be. It's scary as it can be. Because when God wants to change, he will keep bugging you until you say yes. And the day you say yes, be prepared for what's going to come ahead. Because greater things will come. But what do we have to do? Open the door.
So. Yeah, we've noticed a lot, even just in our own relationship, in working together so closely on a day-to-day basis. You know, it was easy years ago where I could just kind of go to work and she's at home or she does her job, and you know, but now everything we do affects each other. We're involved in the same ministries, and God's really challenged us into a new area of communication too with each other, and growing with each other in ministry, and just being open to, you know, for me, understanding, like she said, the way she's wired, me understanding her giftings and her, the gifts that God has given her, and letting her operate in those, and then also her understanding my gifts, and together, you know, God has really made us a great team if we can figure it out all the time, you know, and it can be great or it can be destructive, you know. It really depends if we're willing to let God take control there. So yeah, that's pretty much all we needed to share. I don't know if you had any questions or anything else.
Well, thanks for sharing. Especially thanks for sharing your own testimonies and things that God has been doing, because I know he's been doing a lot, and that's why I kind of prodded you a little bit to share some of those things. We'll just take a few minutes. Lunch probably isn't quite ready yet. I hope you can join us for lunch, but we'll take a few minutes. I want to pray for you at the end, but we'll open it up for any questions. If you have a brief question, I'll give you opportunity for that. So I'll start with a question, then if anybody else has a brief question, you can do that. But you mentioned a couple times gun violence, and it was a number of months ago. It was a big deal down there. There was like this gang war thing broke out, and mm-hmm. and just say, like, has that pretty much subsided now? I know gun violence is an ongoing thing, as it is in some of our cities, mm-hmm. but has like that peak that, I forget, when was that? Was that like July? No, August, September. August.
Yeah, maybe August. September somewhere.
Has that pretty much...
That specific gang war has died down to an extent. We still, it feels like a couple times a week, you know, there's something in the news there about a shooting or some sort of homicide. So, yeah, St. Croix is very, there's a lot of gun violence in St. Croix, and a lot of gangs. There's kind of like an east-west gang. Some, like I was saying, some of the guys that come to basketball are involved in some of those gangs. And, we've done a couple different prayer times. We've opened up Youth with a Mission to have people come and just pray for the island and pray for peace. Yeah, we got to do some ministry with the police. We went there and just prayed for them a couple different days at the station. And we're kicking around the idea of doing a youth peace rally here in December and inviting a bunch of youth groups just to pray for the peace of the island, because it really seems like this year it's just a lot more than it has been in the past. Yeah, substantially more than it has been. So thankfully we don't, personally we don't really feel in danger. We're wise. We don't go out, real late at night or go downtown late at night, but we are very safe, and thank God for his protection over us.
And the times that, since we've been there, the times that we have heard the violence, it's always what we call gang initiation time.
Yeah. It's,
so that's normally January, February, March, and it kind of dies down, and then you don't hear nothing about it. But definitely this year has been, they kicked it a notch. And even this past month, couple of the things that we heard, it was then now more drug related. So in between gangs, it's this thing, and now it's territory about who's selling drugs or where, and how, you know, you're stepping in my territory type of situation. So a lot of kids in between, there's something for you guys to pray, 18 to 23. And a lot of times it's just guys. So it's really hard.
I wanted to throw one other thing in here before I forget it. You guys have made a 5-year commitment to St. Croix. You're 3 years, or how many? You're 3 years completed.
Right.
So you have at least 2 more years left. You all know that missionaries are supported through the generosity of people who support them. They don't get any kind of salary through YWAM. They're completely responsible for their own support. Now, if you give to Living Hope, we support them out of our, a portion of every offering goes to missions, and a portion of that goes to Jason and Vanessa. So I know I can speak on behalf of them, thanking you for that, for your giving that goes through our mission fund. At the same time, that doesn't cover nearly all of their expenses. The rest of their expenses come from individuals who say, you know what, individually, I want to start making a contribution, whether it's a one-time thing or a monthly thing. So I just wanted to throw that in there. If any of you feel prompted this morning to say, you know what, I've heard more about what they do, some of the challenges they face, their ministry, the way God's using them, you can make that donation through Living Hope. But it's another way of just coming alongside of them directly as an individual and say, I want to be part of the mission support rather than just, you know, my normal giving to Living Hope. So I just wanted to throw that in there for you guys. So any questions? Do you have any questions? I'm going to leave the mic up here, but I think we'll be able to hear you, and I'll try to repeat your question. Is there anybody? Just raise your hand. I don't know if you have any. Okay, one in the back. Shelva, go ahead. Okay, did you hear that? Geographically, yeah. Where your base is. So.
Yeah, YWAM St. Croix is not a very big island. It's only about 27 miles long and about 6 miles wide at the widest point. So it's not very large, and there's two main cities on St. Croix. On the east end, it's Christiansted, and on the west, we have a town called Frederickstead. And YWAM is actually located almost the dead center of the island. So to get to one town, it takes us 10 minutes. To get the other, maybe 12, 13, you know. It's very simple to get to either end of the island. And it's really a neat location. I think it's very strategic, where a lot of people know the area, and it's very easy to find us. A lot of guys from the basketball programs, a lot of kids can just walk right there from some of the surrounding communities. And it's nice, we don't have a long airport run when we go to pick people up. You know, things like that, that we're located right in the center of the island. So.
Are people, I just want to repeat it, so I'm sure, the question was, have you experienced people from both of these rival gangs coming to your ministry?
Not really, it's really just one group, and I don't want to make it sound like it's a whole gang that just comes to the basketball ministry, but I know these guys are involved in it in some, you know, maybe some way, and there could be, you know, there's a big group of them that aren't involved in the gangs too that come. So I don't ever worry about really any fights there. I mean, we've had guys start fights, but it's just, you know, kids punching each other. It's not really gang related. You know, so I'm not real concerned about that. They kind of know their own territory and state of themselves.
I know there were two more. Okay, Val, go ahead.
tell her she has to come visit.
Next question.
Yes.
The question is specifically about the NECO training. Is that something that just anybody can do it? If you have to sign up, is it part of the YWAM DTS?
No, it's not. I mean, it is a YWAM program, but it's open to anybody from the island that wants to be a part of it, or anybody that wants to come and be a part of it. There's a small fee. We need to cover some of the food and things that we have for them. Again, we do have scholarships available for some of the youth there on the island, but yeah, it's open to anyone.
Is there another one?
Just do it.
Is it another one scheduled?
Yeah, we have one. We're going to be running one in January of this year, hopefully one in August, and then another one in December. That's
okay.
The goal right
now.
All right.
So if you want more information on that, go ahead. The question is about the maturity that happens over the time that they're in that camp.
We at the end of the week we make sure we have a debriefing time with them, where we just sit down and say, okay, what did God do in your life this week, and you know how did he minister to you, and some of the kids we work with on a longer basis, you know, they go through the program and then we see them for weeks afterwards, or we see them from time to time, and we can see growth that way too. Just hearing their testimonies.
And I think the cool thing is even having the parents 2-3 months after that, it's like, that was life changing. I don't know what you guys did. I don't really care. They just loved the fact that it worked. And it was a, you know, challenging time for their kids. So.
Okay, the question was about a report that Peg heard that the hospital may be closing because of various issues.
Yeah.
Do you want me to talk about it?
Well, you can. Yeah. I mean, we didn't hear much. They were going to close, and then they weren't going to close, and I don't know.
Now, what Transparent this year, their time up with the Medicaid. It's a Medicaid and Medicare. It's something that has to do with the government aid agency. As of October 31st, they had another review. November 1st, the director of the hospital quit. So at this point, what they're waiting is just to see what happens by December 31st. See, this is because it's all entwined with the government. It's you private, yes, it's something happening, you know. So we have to wait now until the end of the year to see exactly what's going to happen. What the government doesn't want, that is everyone is pushing for, is for private, just to become a private hospital, because then government doesn't have to deal with all this stuff. But again, it's out of our hands.
And what you hear in the news, you know, who knows if that's actually what's happening.
Yeah. So anyway, so we're waiting now until December 31st.
Right?
So.
The population, I would say maybe 35,000 to 40,000 is about the population of St. Croix. That's the last number I heard.
And honestly, it fluctuates because we have so much of a, what we call a turnover in St. Croix. Every Christmas, people move. As soon as school year finished, people move. So it's a really turnaround all the time. Actually got a bunch of stuff donated. A lot of people moved this past year, like a lot, meaning that we end up with a lot of things that people, it's like, we're not moving this. That has been, it's a sad thing, but it's a blessing at the same time, because then we get a lot of the things that we actually do need. It comes in, not the good way, but it just, we're thankful for that. So we actually, at this point, we're doing really good, so. He's asking about that. We work with the kids, and if we have any much contact with the parents. Did I understand that right? Yeah. Through Paradise Mills, that is one of the ministries that we run. We started this past year to be intentional of starting to meet with mothers. A lot of times in those housing projects, it's mom with a bunch of kids and maybe the boyfriend that she has at this time, and then a year from now, it could be somebody else. So what we decided was to be intentional with the mothers itself. So now we have 5 mothers that some of the ladies of the Youth of the Mission are being very intentional of visiting, finding out, you know, like right now we know like their birthdays for the kids and the birthday for mom, and just starting to go the extra mile to start to ministry to them. Because we can be ministry to the kids, but remember, a lot of these people don't go to church. So we still are almost the only support system they have connected to Jesus. And that becomes a challenge, because I can be teaching your kids for a week about Jesus and they're like gung-ho, yes, Jesus, da-da-da. They go back to the same thing what they've been living at. They don't see no change there. So what tools do they have to stand up to what's going on at home? Or what tools, you know, I have done the devotions for the skate ministry that we have, and you ask him those questions and they'll tell you straight to your face, yeah, here's safe, but I go home, that's not safe. So we become more intentional with the parents to trying to, okay, how can, if the kids are not able to do it, then how can we do it?
No, they're not old enough.
They're not old enough.
Yeah, they. I kind of lead that myself. Vanessa does some behind the scenes, but she doesn't go along with that. And we have an age, we have an age limit of about, I think it's 14 or 15 years old for the kids.
Yeah,
they have to be at least 15 to sign up for it. So. DTS students, yes, they do NECO. It is. We have that a part of our discipleship training school, and it's a really good time for them as students to work together before they go on outreach.
Yep.
Ashley knows all about it. Ashley Bollinger. You can ask her questions about Nika. She's been through the program, so.
Okay.
I do. He asked about a friend that lives on a boat out in the harbor. There's a gentleman that comes into the homeless mission, and he, I mean, I guess he's homeless. He just has a boat that it can't sail or it can't go anywhere.
And he leaks everywhere.
So he what?
He leaks everywhere. The boat leaks all the time.
Yeah, so he has a really old, I guess it's a boat, but it's out in the harbor. And that's where he lives, and God has, he's really, we see him around town. I serve him on Friday mornings. I get him clothes or, you know, whatnot. And, he's somebody that God has really laid on my heart. You know, we get a lot of guys come through on Friday mornings for the homeless ministry, and God just tends to single out certain ones, and he's one that God has really put on my heart to pray for and just really minister to.
I just want to say a couple things to you guys. First of all, though, just to what you've heard this morning, just in some of the simple things when Jason was challenging us about relying on God's strength in specific situations, let God show up, let him show you what to do. Really powerful. And then I really appreciated too what Vanessa said about understanding and learning more about her difference in wiring from other people and how God wants her to relate to people with grace and how important it is to do things God's way. A percentage of you, I don't know how large that percentage is anymore, but a percentage of you were at Living Hope when Jason and Vanessa were still here before they left for YWAM. And if you had any interaction with them, you will remember them as what I would call, for the most part, behind the scenes people. You did not see them up here wearing microphones, sitting on stools, teaching, preaching like Jason. You just didn't see that. They were involved in some kids ministry. Jason especially was very much behind the scenes. He would like help with the ushers or something. Well, they're not like that anymore because God has really pushed them forward in some very significant ways in ministry. So I just wanted to just encourage you guys. The one thing I already said to you when I was down this summer, and God just showed me another one today, two anointings, I think, that you're walking in now, and he'll continue to add them, and I'm sure there are more than just the two I'm pointing out. But I pointed out when we were down over the summer that I see on both of you, and especially probably on you, Jason, because of some of your wiring, but on both of you, a pastoral anointing. Now, what I mean by that pastoral, I don't mean like upfront preaching, although God is using you for that. But it was clear to me while I was on the base, Molly and I were down with a team this summer that went down to serve in one of the King's Kids camps, the relational influence and authority you walk in on the base, and how people, when something is out of place relationally, you talk to Jason and Vanessa about it. You know, that's just the way it is. I'm sorry. I know you wish you didn't have to wear that hat all the time. But generally, that was my observation, and I've really seen you grow in that, just kind of that pastoral, relational, caring presence. And even when I talked to Falger and Anna are the directors of the base, they're the leaders, but Falger immediately said, yeah, absolutely, we see that in them, we see that especially in Jason. But then the second one that really just showed up to me this morning as you were talking, and I'm sorry, I apologize ahead of time because this might make you feel old, but you have a parental anointing as well. You said they call you mommy, so you walked right into it. I'm sorry, this isn't me, this is you. But you are relating to kids that are maybe a little old to be your own children, but you're still dealing with teenagers, kids that are in their early 20s, and I believe they are seeing you in a parental role. And Jason, again, not to keep singling you out, because mothers have a very important role, but like Vanessa said just a few moments ago, so many of these kids don't really know a father, or what they know of a father is not positive. So for you to be able to step along with your wife into that role, I mean, there's so many things, demonstrating a healthy marriage, demonstrating the real things of life that husbands and wife work through, but walk together, stay together. That's such a valuable ministry for you guys. So I just affirm that in you, the pastoral anointing, a parental anointing, and God is really using you for that. So, all right, I think what we're going to do is we're going to end with prayer, and what we're going to do here in just a moment, you and I, the three of us, we're going to go back and stand in the middle of that aisle, and I just invite everybody kind of either to face them or gather around, and we don't have time for 30 people to pray, but if a few of you would like to come and just offer a short prayer for them, I invite you to do that, and we'll just pray a blessing on you. You're home for about a month, so hopefully we'll see you. This isn't your only Sunday to talk to Jason and Vanessa. They'll be here a few more weeks. Now, Jason will likely be doing some hunting, so I don't know if we'll see them every single Sunday, but they will be here a few more times before they return again. So hopefully, if you don't get a chance to talk to them today, you'll probably have opportunity in the coming weeks. So, and then I'll just throw this in yet while everyone is still listening, and when we are finished with the prayer time, I will then have a blessing on the meal. We're having a fundraising meal in the gym. The youth are sponsoring that, so I hope you can stay and join us. I will have a blessing on the meal. When you go over there, you'll need to go to your table, find a plate, and then get in line. Your plates and that type of thing are at your table. So don't just get in line, because if you do, you won't have anything to put your food on. But I'll ask the blessing for the meal, so when we go over, you can go right ahead, find a plate, come and get in line and get your food. So, all right, how about we pray for you guys? Does that work? Okay, come on, let's go this way. And just let's kind of gather around them, and then I'll make the mic available if a few of you want to pray. That's good, right there. We'll just stand right in the middle. You're completely surrounded now, okay? All right. Now, someone like to pray. Anybody else want to pray?
Father in heaven, I just thank you for Jason and Vanessa, Lord God. And Lord, I just thank you for what you have done. You have given them the desires of their hearts. I just remember a few years before they left that Vanessa was sharing her heart. And Lord, I just thank you for bringing it to pass. Lord, you are a mighty God. And Lord, I just thank you to seeing this couple, just to walking in you and your ministry, Father. And I just pray for your special anointing, your special blessings be upon them in some great and mighty ways, Lord God. I just pray for continued unity between Jason and Vanessa. I pray for Hannah and Sophia, Lord God, that you're just with them, that this family is going to be looked upon this island to be a mighty force of yours, Lord God. Just thank you, Lord God.
Father, I add my prayer blessing. It's such a joy to just hear the ways that you're using Jason and Vanessa and Hannah and Sophia in ministry on the island of St. Croix. God, we are just blessed to be reminded that you do not use us because of our wisdom or our strengths or abilities. You use us because we yield ourselves to you, and we ask you to do so. And God, their testimony is just so clear as they've gone to the island. I know when they went, they had a few ideas about what they might be involved in, but God, you just continue to unfold before them. Okay, this is what's next. This is what's next. And God, they've remained in a place of just asking and obedience. And God, I know that hasn't always been easy. I know that comes with challenges. I know it comes with trials and difficulties. I know there have probably been a few things that they've ventured into that maybe they felt, well, okay, that door was closed, or maybe the timing wasn't right. But God, each time they just get back up and they keep serving. And I pray, Lord, for each of us here that we would learn from that. We would know that our lives are about surrender and obedience to you. So, Lord, I pray you would just continue to open doors. Give them your vision for this island. Give them your vision for them on that island. God, that they would be used of you in mighty ways and powerful ways. God, I pray for their relationships with other staff members. God, that you would just continue to build the unity on staff there, that they would pull together as one. I also pray for their relationships with each of the individuals, whether it be the kids, the teens, the young adults, or moms, other parents that they're getting in contact with. God, just bless and strengthen those relationships that that Jason and Vanessa relate to these individuals, God, that you would minister through them in powerful ways, that they would demonstrate your love, they would demonstrate your grace, they would demonstrate your concern for each of your children, God, which includes every person on St. Croix. God, we pray for your protection, of course, and for your safety, but also for courage for them as they step into places that some of us might say, wow, do you really think that's safe? But God, they're trusting you. So we just pray your shield of protection around them as they step out, as they move forward, as they go into places you're calling them. So bless them today. Encourage them today. God, we're thankful for this opportunity just to stand around them in a physical show of support. God, we don't get to do this that often with them being away, but we just pray that you would encourage them this morning. May our words spoken to them individually be an encouragement as well. So we thank you for them. We thank you for hearing their testimony this morning. God, we thank you for our time together. I pray your blessing now on the meal that we'll share. God, I pray that a blessing on a continued time of fellowship. And we just give it all to you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
All right. You are dismissed. Thanks for coming. Hope you can stay for lunch.